Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, X Church International! Y'all, I am so excited about what's getting ready to happen on today. We're getting ready to praise God. We don't have all the microphones and stuff this morning yet, but that's okay because we're going to praise God anyway because He is what? He is able. And not only is He able, but He is willing. So I'm going to open up, no matter of fact, I'm going to ask Shannon if she'll open us up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have the praise team come up, and we're going to begin to worship God.
All right.
Lord, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you for you woke us up this morning, Father God. You gave us that second chance, Father God. We thank you for your mercies anew every morning, Lord God. And Lord, as we're seeing these clouds trying to come up over here, Father God, we know we have a boundary of you, Lord God. So as they did in the Bible, Father, we are pushing these back in Jesus' name, Lord God. The only rain we want to see today, Father God, is the latter rain, the blessings that are coming down for you, Father. That we'll receive, but the natural stuff we ain't receiving right now. Lord, we just thank you so much, Father God. Speak through your vessels today, Father God, and give us that pliable heart to be able to soak in everything that you would have to say to us today, Father God. And Lord, we pray that you burn away anything that is not of you in our lives, Father God. We're laying it all down to you, Lord God. So we thank you, Father. We submit the people. We submit the homes. We submit the jobs. Everything, Lord God, at your feet this morning, Lord God. Here we are, Father God, open hands, surrendering to you. And we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. If everybody would just stand to their feet. Come on, Micah. Hallelujah.
Bless your name, Jesus. How many of you know that we got to chase after God? We got to chase after Him. So we're going
to
start out.
I need you to get on your feet. It's about to go down. Come on, get on your feet. Here we go, y'all.
No matter what I do, I need you more at all.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know what? But see, I'm gonna tell you something about God. See, I've learned that God does not mistake.
The season is over for us hiding out in the congregation.
Amen.
God is pulling us forward into our rightful position. And either we're going to come willingly, or he won't rush into that place. I encourage you. This is just my recommendation. I encourage you to come willingly. I encourage you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Somebody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want the blessings that come with the yes without the yes.
Come on, come on, come on.
We want the blessings that come with the yes without the yes.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, we have to remember that everything we do is for God's glory.
Right.
It's all for his glory. For his glory, Adam. For his glory. For his glory.
Amen.
Everything we do is for his glory. It's not for our glory. It's not for our edification. Not for me to be lifted up. Listen, I'm not confused. I know I don't have the best voice in the world. I'm not Fantasia. I'm not Beyonce. But I know this. I know I love to praise the Lord. I love to lift up praise. And he says that if praise be lifted up, if he be lifted up, he'll go all in unto him. I'm thankful that God isn't like us. I'm thankful that he doesn't kick you to the curb because you miss a note or you hit a wrong sound or don't quite sound right. I'm thankful that God says he's in heaven to praise of his people. Not just those who got a good voice, but all of his people.
Right,
we
got
to learn to praise God no matter
what.
Because it's all for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, what a name, Jesus. Father God, that disciple on today.
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart cry. Desperately waiting to be where you are, across the hottest desert, I travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see to behold as my way for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my way for your glory.
Where you are.
I wanna be where you are.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I wanna be where. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Oh no, it's coming today. It's coming today. It's coming today. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
Challenging that I live. I thought it'd be pretty easy, but it's a challenge.
Yes.
Been a journey. God is speaking to me, and he's speaking to me. And sometimes I think he's very personal. He's going to teach me for me.
Amen.
Dr. V is amazing, since you know that, and how she does what she does, I didn't know, except for the Spirit of Christ that's in her. So, you know, you guys know that as well. And she's a pusher. She's a pusher, as you can see. I just thank and praise God for being here with a challenge. I didn't realize I was starting at 10:30. Didn't even realize that, and the rain was coming down. I'm thinking she's not going to be there. I said, well, Lord, I'm going to walk that faith anyway. I'm going to go. I don't know if they're going to be there, but I praise by myself. I have to. And I'm the only one in the park. I'm the only one in the park. So it's really, really good to be here. Oh, God, I just thank him so much. I don't
Come on.
He's telling me that there's some pressure. Mm-hmm. There's some pressure, and I don't know exactly what that means. I just know that there's some pressure. There's, I wouldn't describe it as necessarily pain, more of a buildup, more of like a ton of something that's just weighing in. It's not necessarily the physical pain. It's not what he's telling me. He's telling me it's more pressure. And that that pressure is actually good for you. There's going to be something great coming out of that. I don't know what that means, but I'm just telling you what I hear. That there's going to be something great come out of that pressure. So if you are feeling that pressure, know that there's a reason for it. There's a reason for that pressure. And you may not know what it is right now. I don't even know what it is right now, but he will reveal it to you. So just stay steadfast in the word of the Lord, and that pressure will be to your greater good. So,
amen. Bless God. Bless God. Listen, you all, I'm excited. I knew that the Lord had a word for you from her. See, when you walk in the Spirit, you know what's going on around you, right? And one of the things that God has called me to do with, it's the apostolic calling that's on my life, is to draw out of people what is in him and to bring it forth, that it might be birthed, that it might be manifested. You might call me a spiritual midwife. So if I lay my hand on your stomach, it's because I know you're in labor. And anyone who's had children, anybody here, who's had children in here? Who's had children? You pushed the baby out, okay? Not made it, but you pushed it out, okay? So when you're in labor, you know when you get to that third stage of labor, when the pains are coming hard and fast and hard and fast, and you feel like you just want to die. That's what happens to us spiritually. Many of us get to a place where we just want to die spiritually because of the pressure of the labor, and we feel like we're not going to make it through it. But I came today to let you know that you not only will make it through it, but it's going to be for your good. Leah, diamonds are only made with pressure. It takes pressure to make diamonds. The clearer the diamond, the more precise the cut, the more pressure that was applied. So when you feel me putting pressure on you, it's because I already see the diamond. And my job is to push the diamond out so the rest of the world can see what I see. So you can see what I see. You all, when we are going through stuff, a lot of times it's as though we can't see. We see our problems. We see our issues. We see our stuff, but we don't see what's on the inside. And it's what's on the inside that God is trying to draw out. So we go through pressure, and it's uncomfortable. It's not that it hurts. It's just this feeling like this weight that's on you, that you just want to get off of you. But can I tell you the quickest way to get it off of you is to stop fighting your destiny, to step in it, to walk in it, and to watch what God does in you and through you, because the pressure ultimately is not for you. See, it's not for the diamond that the pressure comes to create the diamond. It's that we might be able to enjoy it and wear it.
and bling it and cut some glass and stuff. It's because it's beautiful and it represents significance and great value. And so you all, too, represent that to God. You're his diamond. Now, I know some of you may be in your cold stage right now, okay? And we don't like the cold stage because the cold stage is black and dirty. It's black and dirty, honey. It don't feel good. It don't look good. But even in your cold stage, coal is used for fuel. Ask me how I know. But Dr. B, how you know about coal? Listen, I grew up in a three-room house. Three-room house with no indoor plumbing. And we didn't have central heat. We had coal and we had wood. That was how we heat. So I had to go and shovel coal and put it in a bucket to take in the house to heat the house. And then we would put the coal on the fireplace that it might burn throughout the night. Now we would use wood too, but the coal burned longer than the wood. The coal burns longer than the wood. So you gotta stop looking at your black, dirty situation, saying this has no value, and understand that you are heating up somebody's area. It's not wasted. Nothing that you are going through, nothing that you have gone through is wasted. And this isn't even the message that I came to preach, but I'm telling you. Listen, I'm telling y'all what I hear God saying. If we would just get out of our own way. If we just get out of our own, we're in our own. Nobody's even in front of you. No one is blocking you. No one is holding you down. But you just won't move forward because you're afraid. But the word of God declares that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So when you start feeling like you crazy, I must be crazy. And I say that because anybody who walks under prophetic anointing, you hear all this stuff all day long about all these different people. And you think, okay, that's just me. That's just my thoughts. That's just me, you know, being me, you know, trying to dissect and psychologically analyze people and their lives and their situations. When truth be told, you don't care enough to do all of that about everybody you come in contact with. But not only that, when you sit under a prophetic ministry, you prophesy.
Yes.
Even though you may not be called to the office of prophet, you'll prophesy. You'll begin to see things. Why? Because that anointing drips like oil. Roll from the head all the way down to the feet. And what's on me drips on you. So that's why I'm not surprised when y'all prophesy. That's why when I call on you, I know you got a word. Because I know what God is doing in this season. He's raising up true prophets of God. Why? The world needs a word. People need a word from God. A word from God that will change their situation, that will give them hope to run on just a little while longer. Have you ever been in that place where you just wanted to give up and somebody calls you and said, I just wanted to call and tell you I love you and to encourage you, and you're thinking, God. And you said, oh, you just don't know how much I needed that. But God does know, and that's why he does it. He does not want us to walk around here with a spirit of fear. For perfect love casts out all fear.
Yes. Yes.
If you're walking in fear, you have not fully experienced God's perfect love. God wants you to experience his perfect love. What is perfect love, Dr. V? What is it? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Perfect love looks like God. See, God loves us when we're in our worst state, when we're the most jacked up, when other people don't see the stuff that's going on with us, but it don't mean it ain't going on with us. When they can't see our heart, but our heart is still working, our heart is still moving, and some stuff in there that don't look nothing like God. God sees it, and yet he loves us anyway. Perfect love looks like you got to forgive people when they do you wrong. Now listen, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all, this was the hardest thing for me in my Christian journey. of all the things I've experienced, the hardest thing for me is to forgive people who've done me wrong when all I've done is be good to them.
Yes.
Now, if I'm not cool with you like that and you do something to me, okay, I'm cool with that. That's nothing, right? I expect that. But in those places where we put our faith and our confidence in the church, in the men and women of God, in other Christians, we just don't expect that kind of hurt and that kind of damage. I came to tell you that it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come. Why is it going to come? Listen, it came with Jesus. Listen, he chose 12 to be close to him. And those 12, in those 12, he knew every single one of them would run away when the stuff hit the fan. Every one of them. And he knew it would be one of them who turned him over. Not only did he know it would be one of them, he knew exactly who it would be. And still ate with him. And still drank with him. And still made him the one over the money. He put him over the money for the whole ministry. Even though he knew he would betray him. But you got to understand, you can't get to the cross without a Judas. You've got to be betrayed. If you have not yet been betrayed, expect it. Expect someone close to you that you love, that you would ride or die for, to betray you. And when that betrayal happens, instead of getting angry and resenting them and being mad and having unforgiveness in your heart towards them, you got to praise God. That's when you need to shout. Because as soon as they betray you, you are a little closer to the cross. Listen, and we don't want the cross, right? Because the cross is pain, right? You got to go through some stuff to get to the cross. Jesus was whipped. And I'm not talking about with a cute little whip like they have in the toy shop, you know. No, it wasn't that kind of whip. The whip had pieces of glass in it that when it hit his back, it pulled the skin off his back. So when the word of God declares that he was bruised for our iniquities, okay, and that by his stripes we are healed, every stripe he took was from that whip and that glass that pulled and tore his skin. Why? For us to be healed. For us to walk in divine health. He went through that. After that, then he went to the cross. And they nailed him to the cross. Listen, I'm not no Baptist preacher. I'm not going to say, and one Sunday morning. I'm not going to do that. But I want y'all to get this, because this is how serious your destiny is. That Jesus went through being bruised, beaten, battered, whipped, skin tore off of him for you. And then when they got ready to nail him to the cross, They took the wood, and it's not this pretty picture that the world likes to paint when you see Jesus on the cross. It's like, No. They put the nail not in his hand because it wouldn't have been able to maintain his weight. But when they engaged in crucifixions during those times, they put the nail right here in this area, and they laid him out, and they put the peg there, and they hammered it into the wood, and he endured the pain. That's just one hand. Then they took the other hand, and he stretched him. Bam. And he took the pain. And then they took his feet, and they crossed them over together, and they put the nail in the top of his feet so that it would go through both feet into the wood firmly enough so that it would not slip. Bam! And he took the pain. And then after all that, he's laying down on the ground. Then after all that, they raised the cross up. Now what you got to understand is with crucifixions, they died because they were smothered in their own blood. Blood went into their lungs. And so if they raised them up, you got to kind of lift yourself up in order to keep the blood from running into your lungs. And so he's on there, he's holding himself up. And in that moment, he said, much like many of us, my God, why have you forsaken me? Teddy, why have you left me alone in this moment? But he endured it anyway. Don't get it twisted. Jesus could have called a legion of angels. Those angels would have came. They would have gotten him down and killed everybody that had anything to do with it remotely. but he didn't. Here he is up here. Now, he didn't even do anything but go about doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, making the lame to walk. That's all he did, was went and performed miracles to help people. And the same people that he helped were the ones that said, crucify him. So when you're going through, and those same people that you help, shout out, crucify them. Crucify them, kill them, take them out. Don't be surprised when I tell you that Jesus went through all of that to show us what we would have to endure on this journey. It's not for the faint of heart. You can't be weak and do this. You got to be a soldier. You got to be able to endure some stuff. So now here the people that he has helped and healed and all of this, you know, they crucify him, and now he's on the cross and he feels like God has left him. Left him to die all alone, separated from the Father. For the first time, he is truly separated from the Father. Because up until this point, he's been doing everything that God told him. He's saying everything that God said. And then when he got to the cross, God was silent. You're in a situation right now. You're on your cross, and God is silent. And you're saying, God, why aren't you talking to me? God, why won't you answer me? God, why won't you speak to me? This is your test. This is your cross. He's been speaking to you. He's been telling you what was coming. He's been preparing you for it. And now he's quiet down. Ain't nothing for me to say. You know. Just do it. See, we got to be like Nike and just do it. See, we'll just do it at work. We'll just do it at home. We'll just do it in the club. We'll just do it with our friends. We'll just do it with our boo. Why we can't just do it for God? Just go through it. Be mistreated. Be lied or talked about. Experience the lashes of the whip. Feel your skin being torn because it makes you closer to Jesus. Then you begin to understand his suffering in a new way. It becomes real for you. And it prepares you and it equips you. But y'all, can I tell you this? As he was on the cross and there were two thieves on either side of him, and one of them said, you know, well, if you're the king, if you're the Messiah, then save yourself and save us too. And his brother looked at him and said, listen, don't mess with that man. He hasn't done anything. Now, we deserve to be up here, but he doesn't. And then that man said to Jesus, I want to be with you. See, we want to be with Jesus, but we don't want to go through the cross. We don't want to endure the cross. We don't want to endure the suffering. We don't want to endure the ridicule. We don't want to endure it. And not only do we not want to endure it, but we haven't been prepared for it because the church has failed us. The church has not prepared us for it. The church has made it look like, oh, once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything is okie-dokie and all life is good and everything is perfect. No, baby, you are just stepped into battle. It's like signing up for the army. Anyone who has gone to the military would tell you that the recruiters did not tell them what they were really signing up for. They didn't really tell them. So listen, you can get money for your education. You know, you'll get to travel and see the world. You know, you'll have a period. If you go out of the country, you won't have to pay taxes on your money. But they didn't tell them about the conditions that they would have to endure. But what the army and the military does do is it takes them through basic training. And it begins to equip them for the battles that they're getting ready to face in the church has failed. Because we're not putting the saints in basic training. We're not putting the saints in basic training. We won't allow people to understand fully what they're going to have to endure, what they're going to have to go through in order to get to their destiny. We want to say, oh, I see a breakthrough coming. I see a breakthrough. Oh, you're about to walk into your destiny. They don't tell you all hell going to break loose before you get there. You ain't ready for that. All hell is breaking loose, stuff smacking you from the front, the back, the sides. You're like, wait a minute, hold up. Wait. It's like when you're in a fight. Whitfield, come here, let me borrow you. Let me borrow Whitfield. It's like you're in a fight, and you got to, I need you to duck. I need you to duck, Whitfield. Don't let me hit you. Don't let me hit you. Okay, it's like you're in a fight, and you got blows coming from this way. And then, No, you put your arms down. It's like you got blows coming from the right, blows coming from the left, blows coming from the front, all uppercuts. They're coming in every direction. And then you get into that place, bam, when your back is up against the wall, and suddenly it's like bam, 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 boom, 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 boom. And you go down. It's all right, baby. Thank you. Thank you, baby. You did work for it. You earned it right there. You go down on the mat. And there's a countdown that's going on. And they're saying, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you're like, oh, God, you're stunned, right? You got stars. You're seeing birds. You hear it singing. 5, 6, you finally up on one knee. You got up on one knee. 7, you're trying to get up. You're trying to get up. 8, okay, you're standing up. You're standing up. You got to pick it up. 9, and you're like, okay, all right. You're back in position. You've got to train for this battle that we're in. This thing is real. And I'm going to tell you what makes it even more real because you're attached to this ministry. Because when I tell you that every demon in hell is scared, oh, they mad with me, boo. They mad. The building leaving, the building didn't stop us. This morning, rain didn't stop us. Like, what are we going to do with them? They crazy. It's raining, Antimalia. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. What in the world is wrong with them? Because we ain't them fickle saints.
Amen. Amen.
We soldiers.
Amen.
We ain't new to this. We what?
True to
this. We true to this. We ain't new to this. We true to this. This is our calling. This is our life. This is not something we just do on Sunday. This is something we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We do it every day of the week. 7 days a week. 24/7. This is our life. This is not a show. Dion said, if you come in looking for a performance, you're in the wrong place. We don't have time to perform. It ain't about no performance. We got to get people ready for this fight. Saints knocked down, laying down on mats all over the world because nobody prepared them. Nobody equipped them. Nobody told them what was in them. Nobody told them how to defend themselves and put their hands up. Nobody told them how to bob and weave. When Shannon and Ross did the obstacle course for the kids, it told them, it taught them about avoiding the obstacles of life or dealing with obstacles of life. Why? We will forever have obstacles. The question is not if we will have them. It's when we have them, what will we do? So it was so powerful that Layla, come here, Layla. Layla said, listen, I like that lesson. And Layla said, okay, I want to do obstacles and show people. I want you to do something for me. Brittany, Christian, bring me an umbrella. They're right on the other side of you, baby. Come on. Step out behind the bench. Trinity, I want you to help him. Adam and Jessica, I want y'all to get another umbrella. DeKayla and Micah, I want y'all to get another umbrella. Okay? All right? Now, Trinity, I want you to get on the other side of Christian. Okay, Layla, come on back here. Come on back here. Come on back here because we got some work to do. Okay, I want y'all to hold the umbrella between you, and I want you to hold it down. One hold one end, one hold the other end. Mm-mm. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay, now I want you to drop it down. No matter of fact. No, yeah, drop it down, drop it down, drop it down. Not on the ground now. I want you to still hold it up a little bit. Okay, next umbrella. I want you to be about right here, but I want y'all to scoot back a little bit. Okay? Okay, come on, Jessica, get him another end. Okay, drop it down some. Drop it down. Got right here. Got right here. Okay, up. Y'all take that down a little bit more. Y'all stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Even it out. It ain't even. It ain't even. Okay. Okay, take it down some. Okay, all right, right there. Right there. Right there. Okay, Layla, listen. Listen, take it down some more, y'all. Y'all take it down some more. Listen, Layla. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you're getting ready to go through some stuff, okay? Now, I don't want you to be intimidated by obstacles, okay? I want you to do whatever you have to do to get through them. Can you do that for me? Now, listen. It might be hard. and some stuff might change. But you just adjust to it, okay?
All right. Adam and Jessica, raise y'all up some. Okay. All right. Okay, Layla, you ready? Okay. Go. Your goal is to get to the other end. Yes! And what do you say, Layla? What do you say when you get to the other side? Yes! That's right. Good job. Good job. Thank y'all. Now, that's a simple example, right? It's a simple example, but the example was so simple that the children got it and they remembered it. So when they encounter problems in their life, instead of freaking out about a problem, they understand, okay, some stuff, it might be easy for me to get over. Some stuff might be a little harder, and some stuff I might not be able to get over, but guess what, baby? I'm going to go under it. The key is to get to the other side of it. So we don't have time. We can't have the luxury of not being prepared for the battle, for not expecting the obstacles, and for not being prepared to do what we have to do to get through them. We don't have time to not be prepared for the battle, to not be expecting the obstacles, and to not do what we have to do to get through them. That's our life forever until we go home to be with the Lord. That's our life forever until we go home to be with the Lord. It does not stop. It does not stop because you're no longer just a member. You're actually in the ministry. You're a minister. In fact, guess what happens? What happens, Whitfield, when you move into ministry?
Your responsibility increases.
All of a sudden, what was little stuff down here, it's stuff up here. You start at the highest point. You have more things that come at you. Why? Because the enemy never wants you to walk in the office that God has ordained you for. He never wants you to do what God has brought you into this world and purposed you to do. He wants to keep you broke. He wants to keep you busted. He wants to keep you sick. He wants to keep you with a poverty mindset. He wants to keep you right there, because as long as you're right there, you'll never want more, you'll never do more, you'll never achieve more, and you'll never get to a place of freedom so you can set somebody else free. Harriet Tubman was only able to set the slaves free once she got free. Our problem, I'm telling you, God was speaking to me about this today. Our problem is we in slavery, we in bondage, and we trying to pull everybody else out with us. And half of them don't, no, I take it back, 90% of them don't want to go. Okay, young people, I need y'all again. Come on, I need all of y'all. Come on, young people. Get behind me. Okay, come on. Yeah, come on, baby. Come on. So you stay up here with me out there. You come with me. Okay? Hold my hand. Okay, now, listen. We're trying to get to freedom. Okay? All right? I want everybody to hold on to somebody. Hold on to me, Dakayla. Hold on, Dakayla. Now, you... Girl, don't act... Listen, I done lost weight. I'm going to need you to hold on like I done lost weight. Put your arm around my waist. Dakayla. Put your arm around me, girl. Okay, y'all holding on to somebody? Hold on now, because y'all got to be able to pull them back. Okay? Now, Dakayla, me and you and Isaiah, we're going. Y'all's job is to pull back against us. Okay? Y'all's job, don't show out now. Okay? Y'all ready? Okay, come on, Isaiah. Come on, we're getting ready to go. Y'all got to hold on, Layla. Y'all got to pull back. I'm telling y'all just a dead weight. Y'all don't want to do nothing. Come on. No, y'all pulling back. Come on, y'all ready? Come on, Layla. Now, what had to happen for us to move forward? We had to break off.
Give me some.
Woo, we got free! Dakayla, see, now next time you'll appreciate holding on to me, won't you? Okay? Now, once we get free, then we can go back and say, listen, if y'all want to go, lock on and let's go. Come on. Let's do it again. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Y'all ready? Come on. 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 Come on, Layla, up here. Michaela, you already free. Why are you trying to go back into bondage again? Y'all supposed to, okay, okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? You ready? I want everybody to pull forward except Jeremiah. Everybody else, pull forward. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Come on, let's go, 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 let's go. Okay, now, what do y'all notice? What did y'all notice?
Adam crushed me.
What did y'all notice? Yeah, oh, that's a good example. Come here, Mike and Adam. So she loves her brother so much that she couldn't let him go.
I love him too.
She couldn't let him go. So what she did was, in all of her love, was kept him from freedom. In all of her love, she loved him so much. I'm miserable, and I want you to stay and be miserable with me. So that's love, right? Now, anybody got some family members like that? They love you so much, they want you to be stuck right where they come out. I want you to be where I am. That's what they want, okay? Now, listen, you know what true love is? True love is when you can't go instead of, turn around.
Okay.
Micah, turn him around, okay? Hold on to him. Hold on to, No. The back. Hold on to his back. I'm not going to step on your toe. Hold on to me, Adam. Micah, now true love is if you can't go, you let him go. You let him go, Micah. You got to let him go. Y'all ready? You ready? Come on, let's go, 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 let's go. Now, see, I had to go back how many times to get most people free. See, now Adam has gotten free. We've all gotten free. Now what we can do is we can go back. We can go back and get Micah and Jeremiah. Come on, Adam. I need you to go back with me. Now listen, I'm telling you now. Let me tell you. This is how we rolling. If they do not want to go, we're going to have to kill them. Adam, you hear me? You hear me? If they do not want to go, we got to kill them. We got to love them enough to kill them. All right? So come on, let's go back. 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 Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. Okay. Now, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go with us halfway, and then I want you to start pulling back. Okay? Go with us halfway. You coming with us all the way. Yeah, come on. Jeremiah, you ready? Let's go. Listen. Listen. Come on. Let's go. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right. Okay, come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right, here we are at the halfway mark. Somebody want to punk out. Somebody want to give up. Somebody want to turn back. Listen. Y'all know what we got to do. You know what we got to do. You know what we got to do. Now we got to take him out because he's going to tell him where we at. Okay? All right. Y'all, good job. Get the young people a hand. Now. So do y'all get it? You're trying to pull everybody with you and they are not ready to go. They don't have a mind to go. They don't want to go. And they're going to hold you back because they love you so much. We got to stop letting fear of leaving some folks behind prevent us from moving forward with what God has for us. See, God has something for each and every one of us, but we'll never get it trying to drag everybody with us. When we started the ministry and God began to do some things and elevate and begin to show me stuff and he just began to move powerfully, I remember reaching a point where I had to say, listen, I love my husband. I love my kids. I love the church members. I love everybody. But if I got to go by myself, y'all about to be left. Hear me and hear me well. And when it seemed as though my marriage was pulling me and holding me back, I had to say, I love you, but I got to go. And I had to step away. Now, this is the thing about God. What I thought was a permanent stepping away, God said, I just need you to move out of the way. Because there's some folks that God is trying to do some stuff for that you are in the way of. Because you are God. You think you're God. You want to solve every problem. You want to fix every issue. And so you won't let God move in their life and their situation because you want to be the answer. I am the answer. You are not the answer. There is one answer, and that answer is God. And he can't do what he needs to do for people until we get out of the way. It is time out for us interfering with the work of God. We want to save our husbands, our wives, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins. And I am a living witness. When I got out of my hometown, I tried on about 6 different occasions to pull my family members out. I started with my sister. I brought her to live with me. She'd had a situation. I brought her to live with me. I said, okay, well, you can come and you can stay with me. She started crying because she wanted to go where? Back home. Because it was familiar and it was comfortable. I said, okay, that's one. Surely somebody wants to get free. So then I took my other sister, and I brought her to stay with me. And I said, well, maybe this is the one, maybe she'll get it. And she wanted to go back where? Back home, because it was comfortable and it was familiar. Then I said, well, maybe I need to try one of the boys. And so I got my brother, and I brought my brother with me. He was going through some stuff, and I brought him with me, and he called my mama. I want to come home. Ron is mean. That's what they call me. They call me, don't y'all call me Ron. But he said, Ron is mean. Because I made him get up and go to school. I made him take a bath, change his socks. This is simple stuff, but y'all know boys go through this when they in puberty. They go through that. You got to make them take a bath because they stink and they act like they don't know they stink. I know you smell your feet. I know you do. Don't call no names. But that was mean because I understood that where he was going, he needed to smell a certain way. See, don't no little girl want no boy to stink and got stinky feet, bad breath, and butter on their teeth. They don't want it. Girls, am I lying? Am I lying, girls? Women, am I lying? If somebody, they can be fine as wine, Trinette, and they walk up to you and they start talking to you and they say, hey, you say, they can be fine. Have money, car, stuff. Is they going to get it for you? No, because your breath, no. You all, you got to understand. Young people, understand this. When we are telling y'all stuff, it's because we've been there. We're trying to prepare you for where you're going. You think we're trying to be mean. You think we're trying to keep you from having fun. Listen, we know about having fun. We've been there, done that. We're trying to keep you from going through some stuff we went through. Experiencing some stuff you don't have to. So that you can have the life that God desires for you without all of the other stuff. Adults, hear me and hear me well. When I say stuff to you, when I put you on the spot, when I challenge you, it's because I'm preparing you for where you're going. I'm preparing you for where you're going. It's not always comfortable. It's not always easy, but it's necessary. Why? Let me tell you what God has been dealing with me on. God has been dealing with me on marriage heavy. He's been dealing with marriage heavy. Because he said that we're going to have a ministry that heals marriages. and brings them into proper alignment, okay? Because that's the anointing that rests on us. That's why the enemy wanted to destroy our marriage. That's why we got divorced once and was about to get divorced again. Because the enemy wanted to destroy our marriage because he understood if we ever came together, the force that we would be.
Amen.
So God was speaking to me this morning. Wait here, let me borrow you for just a second. My other, okay, no bending. I won't bend you. I won't bend you. Come on. Bend over. Pow. Okay. No. All right. Now. Okay. I want you to lead me where we're going. Okay. I want you to lead me up to the front. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Why is it selfish, Tron?
Because you actually wanted to do something for you, and then you took
it slow. Ooh. Is that what I did? No, I wasn't doing that. I was just trying to get there, because he wasn't moving fast enough.
He wasn't going
there. Was that selfish? Okay, let me try it again. Come on, Whitfield. Come on, let's try it again, because I think I got it this time. Okay, go ahead. No, look, don't we go over here, because look over there, it'll be easier. It'll be faster if we go over here. But if we go over there, but if we go over that way, look, see right here? No, look, right here. So what just happened? Controlling, right? I'm trying to control the direction that you go. Because I think I know what better than you do. Oh, that's not my job. What do you mean that's not my job? I'm every woman. It's telling me anything you want done, baby. I do it naturally. Oh. So you're telling me that's not my job? Well, what's my job?
Your job was to
hold
direction
and okay. Well, listen, what I need you to do is take me to that water. Can you take me to the water?
Are you going to drink it?
Okay, take me to the water.
Take me to the water.
Baby, I can't see it.
Okay. Okay, I'm a wise man. I know that you see it.
Take me to the water. Okay, baby. Okay. Now, can you take me to get something to drink? Okay. Oh, thank you. That's all right, because guess what? It's covered by the blood. No? Okay. So what just happened? What was different, Juan? A miracle happened. Okay. But guess what? Was it difficult for me to get to where I was going? Was it difficult for me to get what I needed? Did I even have to see it? All I had to do was what? Be obedient, follow, and trust.
What was difficult? What was difficult for me is having a woman that I knew that was, in my mind, closer to God. So I'm relying more on her than I am on God. So that was difficult. So it was hard to lead you to the water because I didn't see the water, but I was relying on you because I know you knew where the water was. But when I put my faith in him, I saw the water.
And that right there is the problem in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Go ahead.
It's not just a problem only in marriage. So let me tell you something really quickly. My team members,
mm-hmm.
and we went through something where I kind of got a little upset with them. And my father said to me, he said, don't be upset with them. He said, you got to understand, he said, your wings are so big, you're like an eagle, and you're soaring. Every last one of them is on your back.
and you're the only one with the vision. So they're flying solo with you. They can't see where they're going. They're trusting your vision. They're trusting what God has called you to do. And they're just flowing with you. So you have to be, you know, really, really, really careful in that, you know, because I'm put in a position
right.
to have to lead and follow God.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard, like you're saying, knowing that there's people who believe in you.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow, they're entrusting me with that kind of power.
Right.
And that's pressure. That's a lot of pressure.
Uh-huh.
So like you said, I had to do the same thing and go to God to be like, okay, God, I got to trust you because all these people are trusting me.
Right.
And it is really difficult.
Right. So at the end of the day, what we've got to understand is God has an order and there's a reason that he has it. And I promise you, I have not always liked it nor agreed with it. Believe me, baby. I've done went in front. Matter of fact, I told him, listen, you wait right there and I'm going to go and I'm going to see what's going on and take care of it. And then I'll come back and I'll get you. You know, I have tried to pull him in a different direction. I pulled back against him when he was trying to lead us somewhere. I refused to listen. I wanted to go my own way. Okay, well, you go that way. I'm going to go this way, and we'll meet up in the middle. But when we align in the way that God has ordained for us to align, we have no choice but to get to our destination. And if there was an obstacle, and even when I was willing to drink the water, he said, no. We're not going to do that. And I had to say, okay. Because I pray over it and be like, oh, it's blessed in the name of Jesus. Ain't no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me shall be silent. He said, no. Now listen, I'm not telling you all this for you. I'm telling you all this for me. Because God said that as my marriage goes, so goes other marriages in the ministry. So my prayer has been, God, line my marriage up. God, get me in order. And even though I'm tasked to teach me to be wife, even though I see God teach me to listen, it takes the whole body to do what we're getting ready to do. And everybody has to be in their position and know that they can stand in that position. So what you're going to notice me doing more and more of is calling on the men. Calling on the men. Why? We need you all in position. Dion, Whitfield, Ross, I want y'all to come up here and stand up here. I want y'all to stand right here. Okay? Y'all lock arms. Ross, you get in the middle. We're going to make an Oreo. Okay. All right. Jeremiah, Adam, come and get in the next row. Okay. I want y'all to go scoot up some. Y'all lock arms. Josh and Makai, come here. Come on, Christian. Come on, Christian. Come on. Okay. Isaiah's in the bathroom, isn't he? Okay. All right. Josh and Makai. How old are you, Christian? How old are you? 10. Okay, Josh and Makai, lock arms. Lock arms. Christian, I want you to stand behind them. Now, I want you all to follow the men as they go. All right, men, lead them. Y'all are going to scope it out. Y'all are going to be the ones talking. You're going to be the voice. You're going to be the mouthpiece. Because it ought to be that I can step back and y'all can say, Pastor, listen, we've got three places we want you to look at. This is what it's going to take for us to make this happen. And we've all talked about it. We want to present it to the group and see what we can come up with. But we want you to see them first. You are to scout the land, to spy the land, so that then we can come in and we can see what we need to do in order to make it a reality. It is an awesome responsibility. but it is one that I know that you all can handle. I know it. God spoke to me when we went to those two churches. He said, give it to the men. Give it to the men. That's your job. That's your job. This will not be one of those female-headed ministries that castrates men. It will not be one of those female-headed ministries where all the women are domineering and dominating. It will not be. Though we be strong in gifts, we're going to know how to submit. We're going to understand God's order in our home and in the ministry and how to listen and how to follow when necessary and when needed and push you all up front. That's our job. That's our job. Now, Leah, I want you to get behind Dion. Shannon, I want you to pass the camera, and I want you to get behind Ross. Where's DeKayla? DeKayla, I want you to stand in for your mama and stand behind your daddy.
I'll stand in for him.
Yeah, let her. Micah, I want you to just stand behind Jeremiah. That don't mean y'all in no relationship. I didn't say you did. I didn't say you did. Micah, I mean, Jessica, I want you to stand behind Adam. It don't mean that, okay? Trinity and Layla, come on. I need y'all too. Okay. Layla, I'm going to give you a big job. This is your job. I want you to push these two, okay? Trinity, I want you to get behind Christian. Here, Isaiah, you come on. Come on, get up here in front of Layla. Get in front of Layla. Hold on to him. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start moving them forward. Me and y'all lead, and they just going to be there to help you. Go ahead. Go lead. DeKayla, you got to touch your daddy, honey. You got to touch him. Okay, men, I want you to get tired. Stop. Stop. I want you to stop. Women, I want you to see that he's tired, and I want you to push him. Say, baby, you can do it.
Baby, you can do it. Come on, baby. You got
this. Okay. Stop right there. Listen. You all, I want y'all to get this visual. Everybody has a role to play, and our job is to push each other. When we get tired, that's when we need encouragement. Somebody who will have our back. Somebody who will push us, okay? All right, now, y'all listen. As a pastor, I'm tired, and my arms are weary, and I'm ready to quit.
We got her. Look how y'all fell into place.
We got this woman of God. We got this woman of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Go around. We got this woman of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes. Hallelujah.
Woo! Y'all getting me?
We got.
All right. Now give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. Listen. This is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take.
We'll give her that hand.
This is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take for us to do what God needs us to do in all the earth. It's going to require everybody finding their position, stepping in, and doing what they need to do. And we can do it. We can do it. It is like football. It is like football. So you all, this is my encouragement to you. Today, you've been in boot camp. You've gotten some strategy. You've gotten some understanding. And you've been equipped for the battle that you will face this week. I challenge you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with somebody else. And in fact, next week, tell somebody, listen, I got equipped last week. You need to come get equipped this week. You need to get equipped. You need to get equipped. That's what it's going to take. You're going to have to press. You're going to have to push. And you're going to have to do whatever's necessary. And listen, don't leave out life group now. Now, we do life group on Tuesday night, y'all. What is life group like? Is it good? Yes. Yes. And we're studying prayer because you got to know how to pray. See, some of the stuff you're going to encounter, you're only going to be able to move with prayer. Some stuff only is dealt with fasting and prayer. We got to learn how to pray, targeted prayers, specific prayers to get it done. I have a question. Is there anybody who is looking for a place where they can plug in, where they can make a commitment and be a part of a team, a part of the solution to the problem, and not just another naysayer, another watcher of the problem? But they're looking for a place to plug in, a place where they feel like God can grow them and groom them and prepare them for their destiny. And you think this might be the place for you. You think, oh, yeah, I might be able to ride with them. Now, I want you to come forward now. I want you to come forward now. Come forward now. No. Come forward now. If you feel like this is a place where you feel like you need to be a member, you need to be a part. He's not through. He's not through. He's talking. This is your yes season, your yes moment. It's not about me. It's about him. Well, I want to say something. You always got to say something. Yeah. What you got to say?
I took a ministry test.
Uh-huh.
That I wanted to share with you.
Uh-huh.
For the first time, studying it.
Uh-huh.
And it's incredible. I have a really book there called
Okay, okay.
It says that I have a characteristic for bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew it before.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and I studied about it. And it's all about the ministry sense. And they talk about the personality, they talk about character,
mm-hmm.
talk about the strength and the weaknesses and different things like that.
Uh-huh.
And when the book came past fivefold, I just almost fainted. Because I didn't even know what it was until Dr. Lee, revealed it to me. And her and
Whitfield.
I was at there
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's Christina.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I was just, it's a hair, but they told me about that. And so, you know, when something getting the spirit and it began to burn, you know, the fire going on, I was like, okay, let me just study. So I started studying what it was. And, you know, and she was like, I said, why are she talking about fivefold? And so me and my aunt were sitting there in a ministry that came up,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, just seeing what it's like, and all this kind of stuff. And she said, you should take the test. And I sat there for about 2 days. I was like, I'm not taking the test because I'm afraid of what it's going to say.
Uh-huh.
So you think you know things about yourself. May not. And so I was actually afraid to take it for a while. And then finally I was like, so I'm kind of thrown out. I'm going to take it.
Uh-huh.
What happens? And I